Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Friday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville. Or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Shangelo.
That'd be really weird.
It would be really weird because apparently Shangelo is a ghost town.
Is that right?
That's what it says here on that Wikipedia.
Is it like that that town in Alabama? Was that Aliceville?
Yeah.
That has the courthouse with a person up there. Yeah.
1923, the community was abandoned. So it's in Smith County. It's not a, you know.
I thought you were saying it was like literally just like a town full of ghosts.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's all we don't go. Yeah. Strange.
There's absolutely nothing there. It's just an abandoned town.
Pumpkin spice huge in that town.
Oh, yeah.
There's ghosts everywhere.
That would certainly be weird.
Yeah. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. Basketball to watch this weekend. The NFL's going on. A lot of great stuff. A lot of good excuses to get outside and put some beef on the grill. Plus the weather, it's not that cold. It's not that cold. By the way, I just want to point it out. It's January the 8th, right, as we're recording. I'm wearing shorts.
Yeah, well, tomorrow there's supposed to be, or today, as you're listening, there's supposed to be some tornadoes. So that's why. That's why you're wearing
Welcome
shorts.
Welcome to Mississippi.
Welcome to Mississippi.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be cold again this weekend, I think.
Well, we'll see how that goes. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. Whatever it is, Mississippi State, they've got it at College Corner. And as we get closer and closer to the start of baseball season, if you're looking for the gear with the M over S, College Corner is the place to find it. Two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, followed by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need to talk to someone who knows you, not just your money. And someone who knows you by name, not by account number. That's the level of service you get at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. We start today's podcast with sad news, Robbie Falk. We apparently are going to have to announce the retirement of Future Brian.
Dang it.
I told you yesterday,
yeah? if they win this game, it's over. You can't do
he
it
anymore.
He
has served us well for well over a decade.
We are ready to now blame Future Brian, and we are going to say exclusively it's Future Brian.
Future Brian.
We're not going to blame Brian. We're just going to blame
didn't
Future
do it.
Brian for this.
And me.
Yeah, it's Future Brian's fault.
I will remember you.
So what was the last one you did?
They lost. I'd have to go back and look. But
it's all these nights of Brian just sludging back to the studio.
Coming back up here at 10 o'clock at night and just being like, 10 minutes of work here. It's over.
It's kind of like the post-game YouTube that you're doing every single
day. Well, those are different. I do at least get paid for those. So Future Brian, I was just doing
that. Yeah, but you're still very sad, just like you are
sometimes,
at basketball.
Sometimes I am. Hey, the Arizona State one was fun. It was a fun one.
Yeah.
But yes, Future Brian apparently is going to have to go the way of the dodo. We will. We are going to give him a retirement party. He'll get a new watch and a gift certificate, a gift card for $100 at Applebee's. So congrats to Future Brian. We wish him the best in his future endeavors, wherever they might be. Mississippi State, all right, I'm loath to say they're back. I'm loath to do that, right? But we cannot deny they're playing much better. And one of the things I found interesting about this win over Oklahoma, and they first off, they totally dominated the second half of this game. Josh Hubbard just continues to play out of his mind. But defensively, they were so good in this game. 72-53 is the final score. They are 2-0 in the SEC with two different kind of wins. They had to put a lot of points on the board to beat Texas. But in this game, they really put the defensive clamps on Oklahoma. So I'm not really sure what kind of team this is yet. And now they're about to play a Kentucky team that is rattled, man. They are 0-2 in the conference. They lost at home last night to Missouri. As I said on yesterday's pod, I said if State won the Oklahoma game, we'd get an interview. We do have that. Cameron Drummond from the Lexington Herald Leader will join us in just a few minutes. Kentucky is 9-6. So this game for them is a must-win game. And I never thought you could have said that about Kentucky, back before the season started. For Mississippi State, I feel like they got a free shot here at Kentucky. I'm just really impressed by the job that Chris Jans has done mid-season to figure this thing out and get this team playing better basketball.
I think they're probably closer to what we saw last night. I don't think that was an anomaly. That's a solid Oklahoma
They're good.
offense. They can usually shoot the ball fairly well. They clamped down on them. They turned them over. They out-rebounded them. The game plan was phenomenal from Chris Jans. I mean, they brought the intensity defensively, but they really attacked around the rim. I asked him about that. I was hoping he had some kind of great, speech at halftime, and they had a game plan completely change things up at halftime because they went from 0 for 12 from three to not shooting a three-pointer until the 6 minute mark, I think, of the second half.
I was wondering if Hubbard was going to get that three to keep the streak alive. He did, but it took a while.
I think he shot it a little beyond the 6 minute mark. I don't know, but he said post-game, he's like, yeah, that I didn't tell him not to shoot. That just they I think they just kind of understood the shots weren't falling and we could have success in the paint, which is what they did. And so that's I thought the game plan of or whatever it was for them to attack them inside, attack the ball around the rim. They had some high-low passes from the post players to the post to score some buckets. Josh Hubbard was penetrating, Jabari McGee getting in there and scoring inside the paint. They dominated inside the paint offensively, but I thought it all started from what they did defensively inside. Oklahoma tried to get the ball inside and State denied it. I mean, there were very few easy buckets for them in the paint. I think they scored 12 or 14 points inside the paint all night, and it wasn't like they were staying away from it. They consistently tried to get down there, and State did a really good job of making sure they didn't get good looks inside. Jamarian Davis Fleming was fantastic
Really
inside.
good.
Achor was really good defensively. He had a few really good possessions for Quincy Ballard defensively. I think this is what this team can be. I think that they can be a solid defensive unit. We haven't really seen it, but we did in this game. And the fact that they found a way to win in a different style was really encouraging because you went out against Texas and you scored 101 points. But your offense is. It might not be as efficient as that the rest of the year. They might not have another game where they score in the 90s. But defensively, if you can do what you did or similar to Oklahoma, if that defense can travel the rest of the way, this could end up being a really solid basketball team. They're starting to come together. There's still a lot of flaws on this team. They're not perfect, but they're playing hard. They're playing within themselves, and they're starting to develop roles. And you're starting to see different guys really step up every single game.
So Ballard, only 16 minutes for him last night, but he had 10 points and 4 rebounds. Achor and Jamarian Davis Fleming combined for 12 points and 24 rebounds. I mean, that's getting it done in the front court. And we've been talking about this front court for weeks now and how that's been the weak spot. They've played really well. Achor didn't have the great offensive game that he would. I mean, he was 0 for 5 from the field, including a couple of shots right at the rim that he couldn't get to fall. But you'll take 14 boards. And on a night where Jaden Epps was not his best, only 6 points for him, Jabari McGee, who we talked about earlier this week, and we were wondering if there was some sort of issue there. Comes off the bench and gives you 10 points, and he plays in crunch time for you. This
He
is
kind
a
of took Jaden Epps' minutes
yeah.
on Wednesday night.
And I think that's going to be a thing, right? I think you've got these three, Hubbard's going to be in there. He's the constant. And it's going to be, do we want to go small and go with Epps and McGee, or do you want to play one or the other and just ride the hot hand? And in this case, it was McGee. And so I think, that for him to get 26 minutes in this game was probably very good for his overall mental status going into this one. Hubbard is just a beast. I mean, only one of seven from three is not going to happen very often for him, but he's 11 for 22 from the field. Each year he's been here, he's gotten better at getting to the basket. And now he's just blowing by guys and getting layups. Defensively, he seems a lot more engaged out there. Sean Jones, I mean, just a very typical Sean Jones line, right? 32 minutes, 2 points, six rebounds. He had three steals and two blocks. Five and so, yeah. So, yeah, we're going to take that from Sean Jones. That's the line I want from Sean Jones every single night. What I don't want is for him to have 11 or 12 shots. That's not good for Mississippi State.
Seems like he's kind of starting to move into that role where he's like not
Yes.
looking for a shot. He's
Yes.
being more productive with his minutes. And I think you're starting to see that come together for sure.
Yeah.
This was probably one of the most impressive games by Josh Hubbard, by the way.
He was everywhere. He was dominant.
The like you can say that with him going one of seven from three, that this could be the best game that he's played. But if you look at how he played the game, it was really impressive what he did. Defensively, stayed in front of his man. I thought he was really good on that side of the ball. That's been probably his biggest growth is his defense. If he's giving you that defensively, I mean, this guy's an absolute menace.
Yeah.
A 12-point stretch, I think, for him over the course of 3.5 minutes. Late in the game, he's just a killer. When the game is needs to be put away, when it needs to be won, he goes and wins it. It's a different kind of mindset that doesn't happen for a lot of guys. Like he's just got that killer mindset, and he never really panics. He never gets down on himself. He started 0 for 5, 0 for 6 from 3, whatever it was, and he's always thinking the next shot's going in. He never is concerned about that.
Yes.
But he didn't panic last night. Like when he was not making the shots, he just went and found them in another way.
Right. He gets to the bucket.
He had a mid-range jumper or two in there, especially late. He was getting to the rim, taking on contact, scoring through the contact, got to the free throw line, was really good. He is just an all-around scorer, unlike anything Mississippi State has had in a very, very long time. I mean, you're starting to put him in a different category than the rest of MSU history.
Right.
He's starting to move into the Jeff Malone, Bailey Howell realm.
Correct.
That's
Correct.
how good he's been.
It's funny. There was somebody on your board. They were talking about this, and they said, you got to have some postseason. I'm just like, Bailey Howe didn't have any postseason. It's a different reason, but he didn't have any. Jeff
Thanks to the
Malone.
Mississippi legislature.
Yeah, Jeff Malone didn't have any postseason.
Yeah, this isn't the NFL Hall of Fame. This
Yeah,
is
like
Mississippi State basketball.
Hubbard is probably right now. If his career ended today, he's top five, and by the time it's over, he could be number one. I mean, that's
It's
just the way.
a very subjective argument
It is.
because Bailey Howell was a post player. Jeff Malone didn't play with a 3-point line, and he could probably fill it up from three in this era. They're different positions. It's like arguing Kobe and Jordan and LeBron. Jordan and Kobe to me are different type of players than LeBron is. LeBron's a linebacker out there that can also play point guard or he can play center. Like he's a different kind of animal. So we can have those arguments, but they don't really make sense in the grand scheme because you can't fully pair them side by side and say, these guys are comparable in that way. I can't compare Dak Prescott and Jeffrey Simmons.
Right.
They're different. They play different sides of the ball. I can
Right.
compare Dak Prescott and Kamario Taylor. So what I would say is, by the end of this thing, Josh Hubbard is going to be, I think, in the same conversation with guys like Bailey Howell and Jeff Malone and what they did at Mississippi State.
Agreed.
Will he be the greatest Bulldog of all time? I don't know. Jeff Malone went on and played in the NBA,
Decade plus. So did Bailey Howe, yeah.
and then you had obviously Bailey Howell going into the Basketball Hall of Fame. So I, Bailey Howell was in a different stratosphere, but at Mississippi State, I can look at Josh Hubbard and I can say, relative to the rest of his competition and relative to the time and the era, he is going to be one of the all-time greats at Mississippi State. There hasn't been anybody at Mississippi State, at least in a very long time, doing what Josh Hubbard's doing.
Mississippi State takes on Kentucky this Saturday at the Rupp Arena. Mississippi State has not won there since 2009. Been quite a
Nine.
long time since Mississippi State has been able to
I watched
win
that
that game.
game on Jefferson Pilot Sports or whatever, Raycom
Yeah,
Sports, whatever it was at the time.
that's before. That's like the last year. Is Cal? No, Calipari's there. No, he's not. That's the year before
Yep,
Calipari
this was
comes in.
Billy Gillespie, wasn't it?
Yeah, you're correct.
Yeah, they went
7:30
up there
tip.
and won that ball game on a, I think it was a Wednesday night. They went up there. I was watching that game in my dorm room in East Central Community College.
In between, Patino leaving and Calipari coming in, there was a time where Mississippi State had a pretty good run against Kentucky. They were able to battle with them and win some games, and then Calipari came in and just kind of took over.
So you look at like 2002 when they had that big comeback against Kentucky and won that game. 2002 to 09, they had some success in there
Yeah,
against
beat him
them.
in the
They beat them
SEC
in Rupp.
tournament.
Yes. But when Calipari got there, and that's the craziest thing, is there were some absolute classics in there with Calipari, and State just couldn't beat them. They did not beat him in the regular season, I believe that's correct.
They did not. You're
And they
correct.
only beat him in the SEC tournament in 2020, and they had to come back in that ball game, I think,
Yeah.
and win it.
That's
I mean,
Dante
but you look at it,
Allen.
was like 10 or 12 games that they had to, they were in position to win the game, and they just could not do it.
Yeah. And
So,
then last year, Mark Pope's first year, State was in position to win the game. Jackson Robinson, a career nine, I'm going to bring this up in the interview, but a guy averages 9 points for his career, goes for 27. He hits 7 3-pointers. So let's go down to that interview. I talked earlier today to Cameron Drummond. He covers the Wildcats for the Lexington Herald Leader. Wanted to get his thoughts on that team and how they're struggling thus far and what he thinks about this game coming up. As always, our interviews here on Thunder and Lightning are brought to you by Alora Modern Wellness. It is that time of year where you're making that New Year's resolution to get fit, but getting fit involves recovery. You've got to be able to treat your body right if you want to be able to be in the shape that you want to be in. Alora Modern Wellness offers you so many different services that help you keep your body feeling right and getting you back into the gym, back out on the track, and keeping yourself healthy. Give them a call today at 662-268-9255, or you can look online at aloramodernwellness.com. You can see all of their services and book them right there online. Go down to my interview with Cameron Drummond of the Lexington Herald Leader. I said it on Thursday, Thunder and Lightning. I said if Mississippi State defeated Oklahoma, we would have an interview on this show to preview the Kentucky game. We are slowly walking, backing away from some of the predictions we made a little earlier in the season. To take it slow, Cameron Drummond joins us live from the Detroit airport from the Lexington Herald Leader, where last night you were in Columbia, I assume. Am I correct?
or Lexington.
Oh, the game was in Lexington. They lost.
Yeah.
All right, let's just start right there. I cannot imagine that when
It
this.
makes it so much worse, yeah.
Yes, I cannot imagine when this season began that you would have looked at this game against Mississippi State and said that's a must-win game for the Kentucky Wildcats, but they are 0-2. They're 9-6 overall. This is a team that, I mean, I know you can't get the real numbers, but we know they spent millions in the portal this offseason. Where has this gone wrong to this point?
I mean, count the number of ways at this point. And us at the Lexington Herald Leader, my colleague Ben Roberts was the first to report the kind of mythical $22 million payroll number for this Kentucky basketball team this season. And really, a lot of the issues that we've seen crop up for Kentucky, especially in its high major games this season. Kentucky's 2-6 against quality opponents, with the only victories being at home against Indiana, a team that may not even be, proved to be a quad one win down the road. And on a neutral court against St. John's, where you got the boost of Jaden Quaintance's debut, and St. John's has struggled in its own right. So the struggles in quality games against top opponents can really be boiled down to roster construction issues. I mentioned that $22 million number off the top. A lot of people are now second guessing Mark Pope's talent evaluation from the portal this past season, specifically when it comes to shifting his preferred style of play. I mean, everything you heard about from Mark Pope's first Kentucky team, his previous four or five teams at BYU, centered around pace, space, three-point shooting, dynamic offensive play. Kentucky shifted that approach this past offseason. They went for a more physical, defense-first, rebounding approach. I mean, I even remember in the late summertime when Mark Pope was pretty candid with the media and said he completely flipped the installation of things for this UK program, went with a defense first, followed by the offense, which ran counter to what he did a lot of previously in his 10-year coaching tenure across a couple different schools. And it just has not worked, full stop. I mean, you're looking at really embarrassing defeats to your arch rival Louisville, neutral courts against Michigan State. You lose that game against Gonzaga in what was a 99% pro UK arena in Nashville. Your top transfers have not performed. Even some of your freshmen, Jasper Johnson was a do not play coach's decision, and he was the highest ranked recruit from this past freshman high school class. So really, any way you slice it, it's been an absolute disaster of a season so far for Kentucky. You mentioned the fact that Mississippi State might be viewed as a must-win game now for the Cavs to get back on track, because this team is firmly on the NCAA tournament bubble. You're looking at losing at Missouri for the first time at home. They were largely non-competitive in their SEC opener at Alabama. It's pretty dire times here in Lexington right now. And as you can imagine, the fan base, the boosters behind the scenes are kind of reacting accordingly.
And then that's the macro view. Let's do a little more micro, just looking at this game last night. I mean, I think if you tell me ahead of time Kentucky's going to shoot 43% from the field, 39 from three, they're going to out-rebound Missouri. Turnovers aren't a huge issue, only 13. How did they lose this game?
I mean, it really came down to Kentucky frittering away this opportunity in late game execution. And, I mentioned earlier, one of the things that Mark Pope has tried so hard this season to instill in this Kentucky team is a sense of pace, specifically in the half court offense and also in transition, which is where a lot of his teams have thrived and a lot of people thought this UK team would have a lot of success. You look at fast break points, 24-7, they had the advantage over Missouri. You listed off some of the other stats. Missouri beat them inside 40-28 in points in the paint. The whole physicality interior big man play has been a bit of an Achilles heel for Kentucky this season, aside from the second half that Jaden Quinn's had against St. John's when he made his debut. And then the final about 4 or so minutes of the game last night, Missouri outscores them 15-2. They score the final 8 points of the game. Kentucky's final 8 or 9 offensive possessions were a trio of missed three-pointers, a trio of turnovers, kind of inexplicable turnovers too, in terms of not executing basic concepts, missing, poorly taken shots. Even the final play of the game, really, when they were down three, Kentucky shifted away from what Mark Pope told them to do in the huddle, which resulted in Jalen Lowe taking an off-balance three that didn't have a prayer of going in. This Kentucky team has had some okay second half performances, especially of late, to get those Indiana and St. John's wins. But when the chips were on the table last night, Missouri just hung in there long enough, scored their first ever win at Rupp Arena, and the pressure continues to mount, not only on Pope himself, but on this collection of individuals on the team. Because again, with that $22 million price tag, I'm sure a lot of people in Big Blue Nation were expecting more consistent results, harder effort, better execution. I mean, even Otega Owe, the SEC preseason player of the year, goes for 20 points, but he's had some inconsistent leadership this year. Nobody else joined him in double figures last night. Really just a confluence of all the things that have gone wrong for Kentucky this season showed up in the final 4 or 5 minutes to cost them that game at home against Missouri.
So, what's been good for Kentucky this year? What has worked for the Wildcats?
That list is not very
Feels like
long.
it's short, yeah.
It because again, you think about a team that has prided itself and a coach that has prided himself on offensive pace, spacing, three-point shooting in particular. That's perhaps been the biggest disappointment for UK this season. They're shooting what, 33.3% from three-point range entering Saturday night's game. That's around 200th in the country. They're not taking a lot of three-pointers either. I will say the defense has made some strides over the course of this year. Missouri was a bit of a regression in that standpoint, only because that was their second worst defensive effort of the year, only, or sorry, second worst offensive effort of the year. So the offense and defense is still trying to figure a way to balance itself out, because the defense, I mean, you hold Missouri to 73 points at home, you should be expecting to win that game. You
Yes.
even look at some of the underlying statistics. I know KenPom really overvalues some of those preseason metrics, but they're 25th in the country in defense. That's certainly a big improvement from what we saw from Kentucky earlier this. season and last year, when really the Achilles heel of Mark Pope's first UK squad was on the defensive end. But the offense simply hasn't caught up to that. It feels like you're almost watching a different sport compared to last year's Kentucky basketball team. Mark Pope has repeatedly talked about how he feels like they're stuck in molasses when they run their half-court offense, everything from setting ball screens to crashing the glass to, it's the simple act of driving to the paint, kicking it out, and moving the ball around. The ball has been so sticky for them. So I will say defense, especially of late, has maybe been something they've been able to hang their hat on. The Indiana St. John's Missouri games were all good showings on that end. But then again, if the offense is going to, not take a whole lot of threes, not make a whole lot of them, and then crumble down the stretch like they did against the Tigers, it's really kind of a rock and a hard place to win games in what is still a super competitive SEC, even if it is maybe a notch or two below what the league was last year.
So State's two wins are kind of Jekyll and Hyde, right? We win 101-98 in overtime against Texas. They can't stop scoring. They play really good defense against Oklahoma and only give up 59 points in that one. So I'm not really sure what Mississippi State team you're going to see at Rupp Arena on Saturday. Which team would they rather see? The team that can get up and down the court and put 100 points on the board, or the team that's going to, play good defense and maybe keep the game in the 70s?
I mean, from all indications, Mark Pope has kind of shifted to more of a grinded out philosophy with this Kentucky basketball team. And that's been a slow evolution, especially after they struggled so mightily in non-conference play in November and early December. So I don't think Kentucky necessarily wants to get involved in a high scoring 90 to 100 point game, even if that is what maybe a lot of people might consider a Mark Pope UK type team preferring, only because it seems like this year they don't have the personnel to play that way. They're not playing fast enough in the half court. They don't seem to be mitigating, whatever defensive strides you're able to make with offense or production. So I think Kentucky would like the game to be slower, more deliberate. Again, that's kind of how they played against Missouri, and we saw what happened in the closing minutes of that one. It feels like a safe bet that Josh Hubbard is going to put up 25, 30 shots, regardless of kind of what style of play the game might be. And I'm excited to watch him again for yet another year in this kind of budding Mississippi State Kentucky rivalry. But there's also plenty of players, just having watched Mississippi State a bit this year and hearing about them anecdotally, that I think could pose a lot of problems for Kentucky, especially given the fact that, this is a Rupp Arena crowd that, they're never going to outright boo Kentucky and Lexington during the course of a game. But this could get really awkward really quick if Kentucky gets off to another slow start. They've trailed at halftime in seven of their eight high major games this season. So things are kind of on a bit of a knife edge in Lexington. And if Mississippi State's able to maybe get some early points from Hubbard or some of their other contributors and quiet that crowd, really help them settle into the game. I thought that really helped Missouri last night. And the kind of blueprint template for that has been out on Kentucky over the course of this year for Chris Jansen and the Bulldogs to follow.
So this game a season ago was a really good one here in Starkville, 95-90, the Wildcats win. And you have Jackson Robinson, who's a career 9 point per game scorer, go off for 27 in that game, and that was the difference. If some random guy for Kentucky, we call it the RAT here, the rat, the random, you can guess what the A stands for, theory. If that's going to happen again to Mississippi State, who could it be for Kentucky?
I mean, there's a long list of candidates because, again, Ortega Owe has really been the only consistent scorer, senior leader, guy who came in with a lot of accolades. And even though he's had an up and down year, he's been maybe the most consistent of the Kentucky players, which maybe isn't saying much. Jalen Lowe had a really poor shooting night after being inserted into the starting lineup against Missouri. Some really questionable shot making tactics down the stretch as well as Kentucky frittered away that lead. Colin Chandler, I believe, still leads Kentucky in made three-pointers despite having a real downturn as the season has gone along, and he just got replaced in the starting lineup. You got Mo Diabate, who's really been a bit of a Jekyll and a Hyde presence inside for Kentucky as well. I think a lot of Kentucky fans will be pointing to Denzel Aberdeen, though, as a guy who they really need to show up. He got big money this past offseason from the portal, former reserve at Florida on that national title team last year. And just he really hasn't been too much of a consistent presence on either end for Kentucky. One of seven from the field against Alabama, three of seven from the field last night. He's kind of shifted into a bit of a makeshift point guard role at times, even though that's not his preferred spot. But I think he's a guy who, look, if he's going to make good on his potential, all the hype that surrounded him as an incoming national champion caliber transfer, this would be as good a time as any to kind of kickstart his season. And then you keep going down the list. I mentioned Cam Williams, I think, earlier, who was their biggest acquisition from a three-point shooting perspective in the portal last year from Tulane. And he has just not gotten going at all. He's averaging less than 20 minutes per game. Pope seems to have a pretty quick hook on him. He's still only shooting 34% from 3-point range, which is far below what was expected after he shot 41% at Tulane last year. His length, defensive ability has been praised and, really kind of pointed to by the fan base as someone who needs to get more run. Pope seems to be willing to give that to him now that things haven't gone too well. So maybe another Cam Williams breakout after he hit 8 3-pointers against Bellarmine to close December. But there really are a list of 3-4 guys who have underperformed for UK this season who would be a candidate for the RAT theory, shall we say?
Yes. Mississippi State has not won at Rupp since 2009, if I'm looking at the stats correctly here. If this goes the wrong way for Kentucky and they're 0-3, what's going to happen? Is something going to happen?
I think from all indications from what we're hearing, I think Mark Pope is A, completely safe for the rest of this season, and B, completely safe for next season. I would be absolutely stunned if Kentucky made the decision to move on from him after only 2 years. Yes, I know there's a lot of fan angst. Yes, I know this is below the standard of UK basketball. I don't really see Mitch Barnhart making a move, who's the long-term athletic director here. He's obviously the guy who hired Pope a few years ago after Calipari went to Arkansas. That being said, within the micro of the arc of this season, getting off to an 0-3 start in SEC play, 9-7 overall, Kentucky has already basically shifted from maybe an 8-9 seed territory to firmly on the bubble with losing at home to Missouri, which is currently a quad three loss. Losing at home to Mississippi State would not help that. But I think you could, unless, if anyone can recall the second Oscar Tshiebwe season, the 22-23 season, you were going into mid-February with the legitimate question of, is Kentucky going to make the NCAA tournament? Because of a similar pattern like this, they had lost some early SEC games, lost a lot of their major high-profile non-conference games. Even the wins in non-conference play that season didn't turn out to age particularly well. I think you're on that trajectory already, and if you lose Mississippi State at home, that only kind of furthers you down that path. I mean, the consensus is this team is way too talented to miss the NCAA tournament, and it's insane that you even have to have this discussion about a Kentucky team with this payroll on January 8th. But if you look at the resume and you take all the preseason metrics and expectations aside, this is not an NCAA tournament team currently, and especially not if they lose at home to the Bulldogs.
Feel like we've had this entire conversation and they're just going to win by like 25 on Saturday. We'll see what happens.
Well, we were thinking about that with Missouri because the thing with Missouri too is for all the, decent teams that have come out of Columbia since they moved through the SEC, they've always come to Rupp Arena and largely gotten handled by large margins. And you maybe even thought that was going to happen last night when Kentucky got out to an 8-point lead kind of midway through the second half and stabilized things. But this UK team just doesn't seem to play with any consistency, rhythm, consistent tempo, as Mark Pope harped on postgame. And you have to wonder if maybe the weight of that may not come crashing down on them against Mississippi State. So very fascinating game on Saturday night. And I think two teams who are at least off to conference play in very different directions than people expected, especially given how non-conference play went for the Bulldogs with the likes of losses to K-State, New Mexico, San Francisco, things that wouldn't have exactly portended a 2-0 start in league play.
No doubt about it. Cameron, safe travels to you, my friend, and we'll see you again soon. Cameron Drummond from the Lexington Herald Leader. Thanks so much.
Of course, appreciate it.
All right, let's move into the second part of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother. We've been talking a lot about Two Brothers. We've been there quite often. We were there just the other day. But we haven't I've been when were we last we went there a couple weeks ago, right?
Two brothers?
No, Older Brother.
Oh, yeah, we were there
So
before Christmas.
yeah. Yeah,
Yeah, I
I need to go
think
back.
that's right.
Just need to go back. You know, I like the older brother.
Don't twist my arm.
I'm going to say this. I do have a request. I got a request for these guys, for our friends Terry and Barton. All right, you got Coke Zero at the older brother. You don't have it at Two Brothers. I'm at the point where I'm about to like, if I go to go get Two Brothers, I'm just going to walk over to the older brother, ask for three Coke Zeros, and walk out and go sit at Two Brothers. Can we get some Coke
Just
Zero
take
over
your
there?
own, just take your own in there.
I need my flavored water. I gotta have it. I gotta have my juice. So, but
That's your AG1.
yes, exactly.
You and Conrad
Yeah,
are
you shouldn't shake it though, because
health geniuses.
it'll spew everywhere. Yeah, I'm in
Yeah.
better shape than Conrad though. So, he's got more money though. I wish I had his money.
True. You need a
Two brothers.
Conradison.
Yeah. Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother in the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for over 50 years.
Brother.
If you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call today. A new computer, new laptops, new printers or copiers, they've got them. But more importantly, they've got you. They've got you taken care of long after the sale is made. You know that you can trust them and give them a call when anything goes wrong, and they can fix it the same day a lot of times. Why? Because they're in Mississippi just like you. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Marine & Co. is the place to go for Mississippi State gear here in the city of Starkville. Nobody with a bigger or better selection of maroon and white than our friends over at Marine & Co. Everything you're looking for, Mississippi State. And again, as we get closer to baseball season, if you need the gear with the M over S, if you need a new polo, a new pullover, a new hoodie, they've got it at Marine & Co. Use our promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off regular price. That's in-store or online at marooneandco.com. Before your next trip to Starkville, make sure you head to Maroon & Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo is your John Deere headquarters here in North Mississippi. Nobody with a bigger or better selection. Nobody with bigger or better deals. Everything you're looking for, John Deere, they've got it at Scruggs. And right now in the new year, the deals are ridiculous. I haven't heard the deals this ridiculous since Ridiculous Day down at the deli, where prices were so low, they were ridiculous. We're talking about 0% financing for 84 months on the John Deere 5E tractor, 0% for 72 months on all compacts, and 0.9% up to 36 months on the new John Deere Gators. At Scruggs, they have what you want for less. Visit them today in Saltillo, offer valid through February 2nd. If you're a landowner here in the state of Mississippi, you need to know the name Good Hope Land and Timber. Whatever you need to do with your land, Good Hope Land and Timber is here to help you provide you with smart, sustainable, and profitable decision-making. And if you're right now, if you're looking to buy or sell land, Good Hope Land and Timber can help you with that as well. Their experts have been doing this for a long, long time, and they are here to answer any questions you have about your land or about any land you're trying to purchase. Locally trusted and landowner approved, Good Hope Land and Timber. We were having a good show, a lot of positive talk, but we do got to discuss Phil Loadholt and what's going on with Mississippi State on the offensive line. Now, on Wednesday night, I saw the list of visitors. There were some guys in there, right? But for what we know is the top priority for Mississippi State, the offensive line, the fact that there's only one commitment and, A, he's a Mississippi kid who was committed to Mississippi State originally, and B, he's not necessarily a guy that's going to help you next season. I'm not going to DEFCON 3 or 2 or anything just yet. We're not there. But my radar's up, Robbie. What's going on with Mississippi State? Why are they? Are we just going to chalk it up to they have a bad O-line coach that people don't want to play for? Because I'll say this before I let you get going: the commitment of the kid from Oklahoma State, C. Hearn, I think is his name. He commits to Northwestern. I know damn well that's not an NIL thing. I know that's not he got more money from Northwestern than what Mississippi State was willing to offer. I know it. What's the deal?
Well, I'm going to let it play out a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm going to see what happens here. They did have several guys on campus on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a chance to make a little bit of progress there. And those guys are not guys – I mean, they are talented players – at least coming out of high school, and there's a lot of potential in them, but they have not proven a whole lot at this point. So it's not like a absolute, you know, plug and play. You feel great about it, but there's at least some potential you could see there. So we'll see what happens with that and what they have coming in store. They have a kid coming in from UAB that I think is a really good player that could compete for a tackle spot.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very concerning. This was a position that Jeff Lebby's been talking about since the spring. They said last spring that they did not like what they had. They had to go out and they had to go get players in the spring portal last year to get better. And they went out and got players in the spring portal. And in fairness, those players were better than what they had because they immediately jumped into the starting lineup, a couple of them at least. With Blake Steen and Flapjack Owens, those guys jumped right in. Then Javen James too at left tackle. So they seemingly did what they could to go out there and get better players. But that offensive line didn't get any better. as the year went on.
It got worse.
So
It got worse,
you
Robbie.
have absolute questions about Phil Loadholt. He's sticking out like a sore thumb right now on this staff. Corey Bell's improved his room. The defensive line is showing activity. Ty Warren's actually getting visits from good players. Linebacker crew is fine. Safety, Matt Barnes is getting, I think, some solid players as well
We
there.
haven't talked about it, but they added one yesterday.
Yeah, wide receiver, they got a good guy. Running back's fine. Tight ends, John Cooper could go out there and go get a better player out of the portal. They need to do a little bit of work, but they have Zaylon Cotton. The offensive line is a major issue for Mississippi State, and it might be the difference between Jeff Lebby having a job in 2027 or not. And that's the concerning thing about it is first day of the portal, you should have had somebody ready to pop.
Yeah.
If that is the is that if that's the side of the ball that is the biggest concern, and every snap this year it looked like a problem just about as the season went on. Kamario Taylor didn't have time. Blake Shapen certainly didn't have any time. You had no room for your running backs. You've been saying all year, this is where we're going to invest a lot of money. This is where we've got to get better. And they've yet to get better. They got Mario Nash, who did not play last year. I
Right.
like Mario Nash. I think there's potential
Good
there.
piece for the future, but not for 2026.
But that's not a guy that you can say, absolutely, you can plug him in right now and he can play and help you. So Jimothy Lewis, say what you want. He looks like he's going to Alabama. I have some major concerns about Jimothy Lewis, but he is a talented guy, and you can kind of see some projection with him. We're going to find out if that's a Phil Loadholt problem, if he didn't do anything with him, if he couldn't develop him, whatever. But you fired Cody Kennedy for Phil Loadholt and was suspected, hinted at, this is going to be a major upgrade. He was going to be able to recruit, develop. He has not done anything better than Cody Kennedy in the last year.
You can make an argument he's done worse because, as you mentioned, the offensive line got worse throughout the season. In Cody Kennedy's year here, they got better throughout the season. By the end of the season, the offensive line was pretty good.
Yeah. So I'm going to treat Phil Loadholt right now like we have Corey Bell. Until he shows signs of life, until he shows he can go out there and he can go get top of the line transfers and he can transform that offensive line, which we won't know until the spring when we get eyes on him and we can tell. I'm going to treat him like Corey Bell. He is a massive liability on the staff until that happens. Because this is a man's job on the line. Jeff Lebby's job is on the line because of this offensive line. And you have a generational quarterback. If you cannot give him the pieces around him to make him successful, beyond just the skill position players, a wide receiver and running back, if you can't give him a line that can block for him, and if you can't open up holes for this running back crew, what good is this offense? If it's just constantly, about Kamario Taylor scrambling and taking big hits and players having to make exceptional plays to go get yards, what good is this? Is Jeff Lebby's offense if you can't have an offensive line to protect?
And this doesn't even have to be. I'm not asking for you to have Charles Cross, Randy Thomas, Elgton Jenkins. I'm not asking for all that. I'm just asking to be average. Can you
Just
be
be average.
average with a
Just
quarterback
don't
like
be
Kamara?
like, whenever Kamario snaps the ball, he's having to run for his life.
Yeah.
Like, can we get an offensive line that's serviceable?
Yeah. That's all you need. Is that's all you
It's
need?
literally
And
all you need. And
it's
if you
feeling like
can't,
that's too high a bar right this second.
then what are you paying this man for? To be on a coaching staff with a guy that he's been on a couple of different coaching staffs with? Like, what are you paying him for if he can't do that? This man's getting paid a lot of money. The Bulldog Initiative, State Excellence, whatever, they have put money on the table for Mississippi State to go get offensive linemen. And I'm tired of hearing about the money situation. Mississippi State went out and they're getting players at other positions.
They've got money, and they're retaining
They're
players
retaining the
that have
roster.
big
To
offers
me,
elsewhere.
retaining the roster to me shows more signs of financial success than anything, is they're able to convince those guys because they have guys like Kelly Jones who could easily turn down college and go to the NFL and make millions next year. He's coming back. So let's forget the money situation. I know for a fact Mississippi State has money to play with for
This is
this
a
offensive lineman.
recruiting situation. This is,
Yes.
you're not
And
selling these guys on you and your program.
right. And we talked about it with Mississippi State's transfer portal haul the last couple of years. And a couple of times we said, like, what are they doing? And then they would go out and they would get a player or two at certain positions and rectify that. So we will wait and see on this. He's getting guys to campus, so we'll wait and see how it transpires. But until proven otherwise, Phil Odholt right now is one of the biggest liabilities on the staff. Everybody else is getting the job done for the most part. He is not to this point. So all the pressure is on Phil to go get players. And I hope to God he does, because I can't take another day of 15 pages of a thread complaining about the offensive line. So please, for the love of God, Phil, will you please go get some players? Because I'm tired of getting every single commitment that comes through, nobody cares about at this point because they want offensive linemen. So can we please do something about that? That'd be great.
Literally, Kewan Lacy could say, "You know what? I'm going to Mississippi State," and people would be like, "Yeah, but who's going to block for him?" That's
If
that was
that would be the exact response.
exactly. So it is what it is. All right, we'll continue to monitor the portal. We'll talk basketball. Some baseball preseason polls are starting to drop, and we got some things to talk about there. It should be a interesting few weeks on Thunder and Lightning as we get closer to opening day. And now the basketball. I don't. Maybe I, Cam, if you're listening, Cam Baker, Pitt Printing. I don't know if I need the sign now. Let's hold off on the sign.
Maybe we can have another sign. Trust Chris Jans.
In Jans, we trust, right? Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. We'll figure it all out. All right, we'll talk to you guys on Monday. Well, hold on. Hold on. Let's do the housekeeping now. My friend Robbie Falk is headed to Pittsburgh to watch his beloved Steelers play in the NFL playoffs. That's the Monday night game, so Robbie's going to be out for a few days. We will have Thunder and Lightnings. Will I have a guest host, or will it just be me? I'll figure that out as we go, but we will have podcasts for you until Robbie gets back from the Steel City, hopefully with a victory over, if you're a Houston Texans fan, I'm sorry about this next part, but hopefully with a victory over the Houston Texans, because we
For
are.
my sanity, I need it.
Well, you know, the Saints aren't in this, so I can black and gold, it's all the same. I'm wearing a black shirt today. I'm in. So, have fun. Tell Big Daddy I love him, and we'll see you very soon.
We'll have a good time.
For Robbie
You
Falk, I'm Brian
smell what
Haydad.
the
Thanks for
rock
listening
is
to Thunder and
cooking.
Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
The rock says. The rock says, know your damn role.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.